You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. Good Holy Thursday morning. We are going to be talking today about Walk in Her Sandals. We're finishing up. It's Lent. It's the end of Lent. Today actually begins the Triduum, the 3 days Hello. Welcome to A Seeking Heart when Allison cannot speak because there's too much going on in her head at once. I know that happens. Yesterday, I started the show by not remembering how to say Pat Gohn's last name, which is great when you've only known the woman personally for a few years and even shared a hotel when you went on to the same conference together. But start the show and you don't remember her name. So the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. We are, it's amongst us. It is here. Lent is ending. We are entering into the holiest time of the year. And of course, moving towards finally coming out of this Lenten period into Easter, into the Easter season, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior and the opening of heaven for all of us, the possibility of spending eternity in heaven with God forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Can't wait. Well, I can wait, but part of my whole anxiety thing, which will be what's coming up after Easter, will be my series on the squirrels in scripture. Not particularly really talking about squirrels, but that whole idea of that squirrel mentality, which that's why they call me Squirrel Girl, because I have the attention span of a squirrel and I'm all over the place and I have lots of anxious and energy and anxiety and ADHD and all those wonderful words that we're going to be searching into. And I just want to look at the scriptures for that. So that's going to be coming up after Easter. But today we're still in this period. It's our last show for the Lenten season. Again, we're in the Triduum, and I love that word. Triduum. I mean, it's not always you get to use two U's in a row. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. There you go. W U's, kind of. We're all good. So today, I really wanted to go back and look at Walk in Her Sandals. This is the book, The Wine, The Women in the New Evangelization, a book club we've been doing, the online book club. It's been an amazing experience. So blessed to be called to facilitate that, to create every day a beautiful meme that helps us to walk through that time together, pulling out quotes from the book and putting them together with pictures, posting them daily and following the conversations over there on Wine Lenten Online Book Club on Facebook and of course on CatholicVineyard.com, Women in the New Evangelization website. We've been talking over there as well. And I just want to ask you to lift a friend in prayer, somebody I met during this Lenten online book club journey. Her name is Julie, and she is very ill, and she really needs a miracle, and she needs your prayers. So tonight, when you're at a Good Friday, go to Holy Thursday services, or even today during your prayer time, if you could lift Julie into your prayers and just ask the Lord to send her a miracle, just for healing. We really, really, I mean, I still believe in miracles, and I believe God still sends them, and she's such a sweet young woman that I just pray that the Lord has pity and mercy upon her during this holy time and gives her that miracle that her and her family are so desperately praying for. We're going to be looking today again at Walk in Her Sandals, and I wanted to look at each for 4 days, the 4 days that are about to come upon us. It'd be chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 if you're following along in the book. Segment 1 today, right now, we're going to look at the gift of generosity, which is Holy Thursday. Then we will look at the gift of sensitivity, Good Friday, the gift of, I did not write that one down, gift of prayer, yes I did, the gift of prayer for Holy Saturday, and the gift of maternity for Easter. And we'll start right now into the gift of generosity. Tonight, our church does something really special. I don't know if you're going to services or not tonight, but we have our 7 o'clock service, and then it's followed by what's called the seven visits. And we live in an area where there's seven churches close enough that we can start at our own church and then go visit six others where we just go in for just a minute. Jesus is reposed on a side altar after the services on Holy Thursday. And there he is for a little bit, and we can go in as, and we pray, and we go as a group. We kind of follow each other in cars and go from church to church for the seven visits. It's really prayerful and an amazing opportunity to pray and be together as community, enter into Holy Thursday. Of course, my dream is to have gone to a garden somewhere warm and prayed during this evening as Jesus prayed. And it would just be amazing. My friends live part-time in Cove Crest, Georgia, where Life Teen Missions is, and they have a garden there. And I don't know if they do this every year or just when they have teens there for Holy Week, but they do a adoration in the garden that they have there. That just would be amazing to be outside in a garden on Holy Thursday with Jesus in the Eucharist. Wow, right? Everyone can have dreams. There's my bucket lists on there. Tonight, though, I'll just be doing the seven visits. And we're going to look a little bit right now at, so the walk in our sandals had entering the scripture, where we look at the scriptures, and then it had a biblical fiction book by Stephanie Lansom, and then reflections by guest reflectors. I guess we'll put it the guest authors. Lisa Hendy, Teresa Tomeo, Kitty Cleveland, Laura Sobiak, those are a couple of different ones. Kelly Walquist did one. She's the editor of this book. And then there was questions by Dr. Carol Younger and Alexio Divina Page. It was amazing. It was like nothing like this out there. And I know that my group has really, my Bible babes, as I call them, we've really enjoyed journeying with this today. Hey, if you want to call in, before I forget again, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We do only have one line, so if it's busy, try back again or send a text with your phone number and we'll call you so that you can come in. And that line's the same for text or phone, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can leave a message or a comment, or if you want us to call you back so you can spend some time on the phone here with me, we'd love to have you. 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to start by looking at Enter the Scriptures with Sarah Christmeyer. She writes, the Passover Seder was structured around the pouring and blessing of four cups of wine, including a cup of blessing, quote unquote, a cup of blessing, poured and shared after the meal was consumed. It also involved blessings, prayers, and ritual washings of hands before each course. The first or appetizer course included lettuce or parsley that the participants dipped in a kind of salad dressing before eating. A variety of foods was served for the main meal along with unleavened bread and the meat of the sacrifice. She continues by writing, everything done and said at the Seder was prescribed and everyone knew the ritual. As Jesus said the blessing over the bread and at the main course, imagine the astonishment of the 12 as he added, this is my body, which is given up for you. You can find that at Luke 22:19. Imagine, she continues, what the disciples must have thought the first time they heard this. What did he say? His body? Then, after supper, they would expect the cup of blessing. But this, he says instead, this cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. You can find that at Luke 22:20. What could he possibly mean? And I love how Sarah draws us into the scriptures and then has us kind of contemplate a little bit more. Think of how jolting it is for us today when even one word of the Mass is said out of place. Not only is he changing the words, but also what he says is electrifying. The old covenant between God and Israel, which was sealed with blood on Mount Sinai, had been broken ages ago, but God had promised to make a new one. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel for those days, said the Lord. I will put my law within them and will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Love that line from Jeremiah 31. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And this is what we're going to celebrate tonight. If you are blessed to go to services tonight, if you've never been to Holy Thursday services, I absolutely can't recommend them enough. I did not go for most of my life. I was well into my adulthood before I even know they existed. So tonight, check, you go to masstimes.org to find a time. If you need help in your area, I'd be happy to help you find a church or a service in your area. There'll be mass and there'll be the washing of the feet where we reenact Jesus's amazing example to us of how he was here to serve and how we're to go out and serve others. So we'll have the washing of the feet and the mass, and then just this understanding of Jesus and his, as he prepares for the greatest gift he's going to give to us, is the opening up of heaven, on his work on the cross on Good Friday. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're looking today at Walk in Her Sandals, Lenten Journey, finishing up Lent, looking at Holy Week, the rest of Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, which is a day that for most of my life was just kind of a throwaway day. It was like what we didn't really think about it until the Sunday or Easter. It was Easter. It was kind of that clean the house day, go shopping day, great day off just to hang around and do nothing. But this year, after reading Walk in Her Sandals, experiencing Christ's passion through the eyes of women, out from Kelly Walquist and the Women of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, this is going to be a different Holy Saturday for me. Yes, I still need to clean the house and prepare for Sunday's guests. Yes, I will probably still need to go to the grocery store because I am really bad at remembering what I need when I go to the store. I made a list and then I asked my cousin who's coming, who has some special dietary things like I do, but she's so good. Like she never, ever fails to make sure I'm taken care of for a meal. So of course I'm going to do the same for her, but I think to ask her, after I get home from the grocery store, thinking somehow I'm going to have what she needs here, goober. So now, you know what I'm going to do though? So lazy, going to send my husband out, going to make a list and send him out. And you know what? He'll probably come home with Bosco, because yesterday when he went with me, he kept trying to throw Bosco into the cart and I used to block it and he took it out. I actually literally took it out because he's got some weight to lose and he doesn't need Bosco. Anyway, I digress. Back to Holy Thursday. So we're going to be looking at some things in the book just to kind of prepare us and get us ready for these holy, holy days. And so excited. I know I'm a geek. I'm a total geek. I love Holy Week. I love everything it stands for. I love the hope that it brings. I love that we get to come together at church, as church family, as church, capital church. Like we had Pat Gohn here yesterday talking about All In and the importance of the institution of the church as well as his relationship with Jesus. Like they go hand in hand. He is married to the church. It is his bride and he's not going to divorce it. They go together hand in hand. So it's nice to have these opportunities to spend more time enjoying the institution as it is in its glory with all its bells and its whistles. And this year I'm actually going to go to the vigil mass, which I don't often get to because I'm cooking on Sunday, but also I just really this year wanted that extra special opportunity to be in that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're not there yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. If you want to join the conversation, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. If you're having a hard time getting through to the lines, leave your phone number text your phone number. Try that again. Text your phone number to 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, and we will call you right back. As we go further into Holy Thursday, this chapter 2 in Walk in Her Sandals, I wanted to read a little bit from Pat Gohn's reflection here on the gift of generosity. She writes, self-sacrificing, self-donating love is the root of all vocations. All of us in some way must come to exemplify Jesus's words, "This is my body, which is given you." Each of us within our respective vocations are also called to offer up our bodies for the good of the others, to glorify God. And of course, we all have our own ways that we are called to do that through the gift of motherhood, of maternity, of actually holding a child in our body for, well, some people go 9 months. I barely made 8. And in fact, one was only seven months, 8 months. Yeah, I didn't go very far. I have really, really impatient kids. But there's other ways. You know, some people are teachers who have to stand for hours. Like, I think that is physically demanding. I was a preschool teacher for many years, a daycare provider and a preschool teacher. And it's exhausting. Some people will say to me, do you think you'll go back now that Faith's at school and you're older? I said, no way. I am too old. That is a physically demanding, exhausting job. And I have so much respect and credit for teachers or nurses or doctors who are on their feet with those long hours, policemen, firemen, construction workers. You know, my husband and my husband's best friend are both electricians. And I think about what they have to go through, crawling through attics or basements in sweltering weather and freezing weather with bugs and spiders. Oh my, like, yuck. Like, I don't think there's a job out there where we don't have some physical demand upon us, where we give up our body to serve others. And whatever it is we're doing as mother, as father, as doctor, as nurse, teacher, policeman, whatever it is, electrician, computer scientist, like my husband, I don't really know what. You know, maybe he gets a paperclip now and that paper cut or sprains a finger typing, but he does have to sit for long hours and he has to be inside and he loves being outside. He is an avid fisherman and hiker. So for him, you know, for anyone who has a desk job, who is sacrificing to support their family, to bring home a paycheck for their family, that's giving up a little bit of yourself, you know, giving up your body for you. And everybody, again, is called for the self-sacrificing, self-donating love that is rooted in all vocations. I love how Pat Gohn includes that and how she writes that in here, or Walk in Her Sandals, as we look at Holy Thursday. One last thing for Holy Thursday before we move on to Good Friday discussion is in this, where is it? 51, page 51. Here we go. Kelly, at the end of each chapter, we'll be right back with more of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkers here on Breadbox Media. We're talking about Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women, edited by Kelly Walquist and done beautifully by the Women of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. We've been doing it as an online book club through Wine Lenten Book Club, and it's been incredible. I'm just so blessed to be part of this. The women I have met, the insights and the sharing and the encouragement, mind blown, just an incredible Lent, a very fruitful, very, very fruitful Lent. And so today is Holy Thursday. Tomorrow, we will not be on air live tomorrow because we're always on air. I'll be running one of last year's interviews for Good Friday, but I'm going to be in church from 12 to 3. It's one of the great opportunities that we have. For many years, I would sleep I'm going to be totally honest. I'd sleep from 12 to 3. I would, you know, lay down and be like, oh, I'm just going to pray for these 3 hours because I wanted to be still. And like the apostles, I'd be out cold and sleep for the whole 3 hours that I had. So I'm going to go with to the church. My pastor does a, a 1 hour reflection from 12 to 1 on the last 7 words from the cross. He did it 1 year for 3 hours. I thought it was incredible, but apparently I was alone in that. It's probably pretty exhausting for him as he gets ready for the rest of the Holy Week things that he has to do. But I loved it. So I stay there for the whole 3 hours. I bring with me a notebook and some prayer books, and I'm probably going to bring walk in her sandals with me and reread these chapters again, Thursday, Friday, Good Friday, especially Good Friday, obviously, chapter tomorrow. And the story that runs throughout Walk in Her Sandals is actually called Walk in Her Sandals by Stephanie Lansom. And it's a biblical fiction, but just to walk with Jesus, like from through the eyes of all these different women who, I mean, there's fictional, but you can certainly, Stephanie writes the way that the smells and the sounds and the sights are all very vivid in her writing. And you can be with him on that walk with him with the cross. And Veronica is one of the characters in the story who wipes his face, like, because that's the real part. But then she kind of gives her interpretation of what might have been going through Veronica's mind, and beautifully, just beautifully done. So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow from 12 to 3. And then at night we have, of course, this Holy Good Friday services, not a mass, the only time in the world, only time in the liturgical calendar that we do not have a mass. We have service, we'll receive communion. And one of the things we do in our church is venerate the cross. I think every church does that. But we have a relic of the true cross on our, attached to the cross that we venerate. And it's the miracle that was performed upon that sliver of the cross to associate it with the true cross is that a deaf person heard. Well, my daughter's deaf, and for the last 7 years that Faithy has been home with us, and I think we've had the relic the whole 7 years, which my pastor got it from our bishop, and just so blessed to continually be able to venerate it, to be able to be blessed by venerating. I mean, you either kiss it or touch it and just kind of give, yeah, hello brain and mouth. It'd be nice if you two could work it out together and actually make sounds besides noises. Anyway, you go up and either touch it or kiss it. Of course, germaphobe girl doesn't kiss it unless we're usually one of the first two in line. Really, I have to start to believe and understand that God is not going to get me sick through venerating him, like receiving communion, whatever. I'm a crazy person. We know that about me. But my daughter is deaf, and she always goes up and kisses the relic or touches the cross. And my husband and I, the first year, knowing that that was the miracle, we got back to our seats. We kind of both like looked at each other and whispered to her, can you hear? And of course, like, she's so beautiful and perfect just the way she is. And God allowed her to be deaf to glorify him in whatever way that would be. And if she stays deaf forever, she's so happy. I think she understands like this is how she is and how God created her. And she's not angry with God, and she just loves her language and thunderstorms. She laughs at me and she says, ha ha, you should be deaf and then you wouldn't be scared. And she's a pretty funny kid. But there's still a part of us too that obviously, of course, always hopes for that miracle for her. So a few years ago, I told my CCD kids, my confirmation class, that story about how, you know, every Good Friday, we go back and can you hear? And one of the kids went by last year and he stopped and he looked and he's like, mouths to us, can she hear? Like, no, still deaf. So who knows? Maybe tomorrow night will be the time. Who knows? If it doesn't, God is still glorified. And he's always glorified. That's the point, I think. Sometimes I have to remember in my worry and my concern and my anxiety that all things God wills for good. And that's so hard to understand when it just seems so bad in this world. Like these two young moms losing their life so young when their kids need them just doesn't seem right. It seems so wrong. Just going to throw that word out there. Just so wrong. But God said, I love you. God is love, John tells us. And everything that God wills is for our good. Isaiah the prophet reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. We have no way of understanding why God allows these things in the time that they're happening, how they happen. And it can be very anxiety inducing, but to remember, especially these 3 days, that God is God and we are not, that he came to open up heaven for us, that death is a reward. It is not a punishment. Death is a gift. And heaven is a gift, and our time here should be preparing for that gift and not trying to worry about it happening, because it will eventually happen. We cannot stop it. And we're reminded in the scriptures by Jesus that we cannot add a moment to our lifespan by worrying. So why do we? Instead, enter into these 3 days asking God to show us the miracle of who he is, and that we get to be his beloved, as Pat Goen told us yesterday, his beloved apostles, his beloved disciples, his beloved followers, his daughters and sons. That's what this time is about. And it's not about getting worried, but being hopeful. And it's called Good Friday for a reason, right? Because it's good. It is good that he took on our sins and we don't have to be accountable for all that we've done, that God is merciful and good and loving. And as we enter into Good Friday, we see here in Walk in Her Sandals this aha moments that are just one of them that Sarah Christmeyer writes, the garden is called Gethsemane, olive press. They are crushed, not easy for me to say, crushed olives were pressed beneath heavy stone slabs until the oil flowed out to be gathered in clay jars. It's a fitting place, Sarah continues, for Jesus's nighttime agony. Luke describes his sweat like great drops of blood falling upon the ground, as though the Lord himself is in an olive press. Olive oil was treasured for providing light, healing, nourishment. Jesus crushed will be all these for the world. Wow, right? Sit with that one for a while. Amazing stuff. Sarah Christmeyer writes here in Entering the Scripture, Walk in Her Sandals, Jesus crushed will be light and healing and nourishment for the world, for each and every one of us. And we will experience that in such a profound way on Good Friday. We also see that perfect love casts out fear. That's included here in Walk in Her Sandals, 1 John 4:18. And the word cast has absolutely just been jumping off the pages of my scripture at me. So I've been praying about that word, and I'll be definitely delving deeper into that in the new year. After the post-Easter year as well, the squirrels and the scriptures and the casting, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares, is something St. Peter tells us. And here we have being reminded that perfect love, God's love, casts out, throws a shadow over, or throws out completely a great distance away from you, fear. And if you're someone like me who lives in great fear, who sees death as this horrible punishment in this Good Friday time, in this Holy Triduum time, should be looking at what Jesus's death did, how it opened up heaven, how it brings new life, how he conquered death. First and foremost, or I guess most importantly, is understanding that in Jesus's scourging, his passion, his death, his resurrection, he conquers death. He overcomes it because he is greater. God is greater than, okay, all I can think about is the Veggie Tales. God is greater than the boogeyman. He is greater than death, and he conquers it for us. When we come back, we're going to look at the silence of Holy Saturday. And I think, again, for many years, having brushed off this day, I am pretty excited to have this opportunity now to enter into it in a full and whole way as this time of prayer and waiting and just understanding, more prayerful understanding of what God had done and is doing, still does for us this day. We have one more segment. I hope you stay tuned. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and I'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. We're coming to the end of our Lenten season together over on Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, our Lenten online book club that I've been so blessed to facilitate. I've been able to write the reflections over on CatholicVineyard.com for every Sunday for the last 6 weeks. It's been an incredible experience growing in faith with these women, getting to meet new women, and experiencing really, really experiencing Christ's passion in a whole new way. The book goes from Palm Sunday through Holy Week, Holy Thursday being today, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, and then it ends with Pentecost. It worked out really great. My group started the Wednesday after Ash Wednesday, and then last week we went to see Sister Act. I know, probably not the most Lenten activity to do, but I can't help when it's being offered. And one of my friends, Nita, bought me the DVD many years ago. So it's become like a running joke because I still haven't seen it. Not a good movie person, but I will watch it now because I was amused by the show, even though I do know it's not any of the same music. Anyway, so had to go see it with the Bible Babes. So we went and did that. So it worked out perfect that yesterday we did Easter Sunday, and now we'll enter into Pentecost after Easter. But I wanted to finish up today's show of reflecting back and preparing ourselves to enter in these next 3 days, the Triduum as it's called, by looking through the Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday chapters 2, 3, and 4. And I'm going to pick up now here at Unwrap the Gift of Prayer, Pat Gone, my gift yesterday. She was my gift yesterday, but she was also my guest in her new book, All In, Ave Maria Press. Check that one out. Really an amazing book. And here we're looking at the gifts, the gift of prayer. And she said, prayer, John Damascene, I don't even know how you say that, taught prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God and the requesting of good things from God. And that's in the Catechism 2590. Prayer is the raising of one's heart and mind to God and requesting of good things. Prayer is gift and a discipline, she continues. It is natural expression of the gift of faith and an interior disposition and a movement of the heart. We were made for prayer and are hardwired for God. We were made for prayer and hardwired for God. Hey, deja vu. I just read that and I read it again. Apparently, it was really important and I needed to say it twice. The desire for God is written in the human heart. Guess what? We are made with a seeking heart. Oh, the name of the show. You ever wonder where I get that? Mm-hmm. It's because we are made with a seeking heart. Our heart seeks God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Him, as St. Augustine tells us. And prayer is one of the main ways we find Him. I talk about that grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Pray, we open up our hearts and minds to God. We open up a dialogue. We have a conversation with Him, and it is a great gift. We do that through sacrament. You're going to see tonight, Holy Thursday, the institution of the Eucharist. One of the greatest gifts God's given us is that we get to be with Christ in communion, literally in communion with Him when we receive Him in the Eucharist. We ingest him into our soul, into our bodies, and then we invite him into our soul, is how I should say that. And it's quite a remarkable gift, quite a remarkable gift. If you're still debating whether you're going to go to confession or not, can I invite you over to Reconciled to You, Reconciled to You, my website. And there you'll find the CWBN, the Catholic Women Bloggers Network blog hop. Click on that, scroll down just a tiny bit, and there you'll find about 20 wonderful blogs on our, the topic was My True Feelings on Confession. You'll find converts and cradle Catholics like myself, or reverts, probably more of a revert, someone who was born Catholic but went away for a while and chose, kind of converted myself back. And there are people who love confession and hate confession. There's even one blog about a woman who wasn't even sure if she would go to confession this year because she just struggles with whether to go or not. Mine is got the big chicken face on it because I've always been a confession chicken. But it's such a gift, and it has truly transformed my heart and mind towards Christ by going to confession and to go actually frequently. So this gift, these so many gifts that God gives us, the gift of his mercy, the gift of faith, the gift of his love, the gift of prayer. And here, you know, we also see in this book, Walk in Her Sandals, different gifts that the Lord also gives us that Pat spoke about in each chapter. The gift of receptivity that helps us to receive God's love and direction. The gift of generosity inspires us to spend our love on God, making daily prayer a priority. I hope that during your Lent, as you prayed more and made more time for prayer, that you found that, yes, I can make time for this, and it continues beyond Easter. Many of the things that I choose to do for Lent, I'm choosing because I want them to continue beyond that Easter glory. I want to make them part of my normal everyday life because they're good for me, and they drew me, and they will continue to draw me closer to God. The gift of sensitivity moves us to be intercessors in prayer. Our prayers often take on maternal care when we pray for people in situations that requires grace and a tender touch from God, Pat continues. We petition the Lord with the needs that we hold in our hearts. We pray as Jesus did, asking things of our Heavenly Father. Then we have today, we consider the gift of the prayer in light of the silence of Holy Saturday. In the Triduum timeline, it is that great waiting. Jesus is in the tomb. Thinking back to the days of Christ and the first apostles, the great glory of the resurrection was yet unknown, even though Jesus predicted it. So here we have in this Holy Saturday, Jesus has died upon the cross. He's in the tomb. There's preparations being made for the Sabbath. So they've laid him in the tomb, and now they're following the laws as they are intended. They're resting as the Sabbath asks of them. She continues, Saturday was the Sabbath, a day of rest and of prayer, Pat Goen says, for the Jewish community. It was also for many acquainted with Jesus a day of darkness due to the grief and sadness over his hideous death. And yet, for the observant Jews, the routine Sabbath rituals of prayer and remembrance provided a measure of comfort. Even in those dark moments, there is a Sabbath rest. And that's what we're going to enter into on Saturday, in that Sabbath rest and prayer, with prayer, opening up our scriptures, opening up our spiritual reading, whatever it is that you've journeyed with this Lent, pull it out on Saturday. Go back to some of your favorites, things that maybe you highlighted or underlined or wrote in your journal, and spend some time in prayer on Saturday. Yes, shopping may need to get done and house cleaning may need to get done, but this year, I'm going to just really pray and encourage you to give God some of that time and really reflect on this in silence. Because, you know, there's a beautiful ancient homily that's included in the Liturgy of the Hours for Holy Saturday. And of course, I don't have it in front of me to get the quote completely perfect, but it says a great silence was falling upon the earth and something wonderful was happening. And it's for us to really consider, what is that silence? What great thing is happening? And what great thing has happened in our hearts? What has God taught us during this time of preparation? What a profound silence. That's a really a beautiful word. A profound silence has begun. And let's enter into that profound silence on Saturday and ask the Lord to really show us what he has done during our Lenten time, like what our sacrifices, our prayer, our fasting, our alms, what it has brought forward in us, what newness is going to break forth in our Easter and keeping it. How can we keep this all the days of our lives? It's kind of an amazing idea and thought that we're being called into and that we're allowed to participate in. Like, this is just an amazing, amazing gift that God has given us. Another thing also to think about tomorrow in all through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and even Sunday, of course, is through the eyes of Mary and looking at what this, because this Mary was full of grace. If there's any model of example of how to go through the darkest moments of our lives, it's through Mary. Because she did it without sin. She did it without losing her faith in God, that she just pondered all these things in her hearts. She trusted in God's plan for her son, for her life. And even in the most difficult moments, made herself available to God and kept that hope, that joy that's in him. So if you're not somebody who's ever prayed the rosary, perhaps try praying the sorrowful mysteries on Saturday. Try praying the joyful, the glorious mysteries on Sunday. Maybe pray the luminous mysteries today, which actually is today's prayers. And really enter into those scriptures that go along with the mysteries as we see Jesus being tried and scourged and crowned and crucified. But yet then we're going to see him be resurrected. I'm excited. I'm excited for you. You'll be in my prayers tonight and all through this Holy Week. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.